Thank you, Gwen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your word come alive now amongst us. Send your spirit to open our hearts, take down our barriers, challenge us that we might live differently in response to your word. Amen. So today we have accept one another. And I wonder if you're an accepting person, you accept one another. I guess most of us probably think we are. If I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 to say how judgmental a person you are, 1 to 10, give yourself a score 1 to 10 on how judgmental you are. I wonder what score you gave yourself. My guess is most people give themselves around 7 to 8. Don't want to go too high because that would seem boastful, but we're quite okay really, and we're not that judgmental really, so we're probably quite high up there. But if you look at the world we live in, it's encouraging us relentlessly and continuously to be judgmental, to pass judgment on people, on attitudes, on everything around us. In TV, we're asked, aren't we, you vote in or out, Big Brother, Britain's Got Talent, X Factor, Love Island, The Voice, you name it, you're voting them in or out, according to whether you like, you pass judgment on them. Or maybe, what's your driving like? How do you pass judgment on other drivers, particularly the men there? Ooh, I'm guilty of that. That brings out my judgmental nature. What about in your office? The people around you, your co-workers, your boss? What about in church, your vicar? How judgmental are you of them? Well, what about your neighbours? What are they like? What about people from other ages? People who are younger than you or older than you? Oh, it didn't like that in our day. Or we're looking at those old people, they're just... What about morality or sexual orientation? What about body shape? Don't we judge other people's body shape? Aren't we encouraged to do that and pass judgment too big, too small? What about drinking? People's attitude towards drinking? Divorce, what about that? Suddenly we think, well, maybe 7 and 8 is not quite as honest a score as I'd like to give myself. But you might say to me, well, James, aren't we meant as Christians to understand what's right and wrong and pass judgment what is right and wrong in this world? And the answer to that is yes, we are. We're supposed to know what's right and wrong morally in every other way, but we're not supposed to judge people who do the right and wrong. You see, we judge the sinner, but we should be just judging the sin. It's God's job to judge people, not ours. And we see this as a good example in the law in this country, which was based on Christian principles. You're meant to know what the law is. You're meant to obey the law. You're meant to know when people other than you break the law. And we see that, don't we, in our court system. A jury will, you and I, will decide whether somebody's broken the law or not. But it's the judge who passes sentence on the crime that is done. And it should be the same for us as Christians. We're meant to know what's right and wrong. But the judge, who is God alone, should be judging people and passing sentence on them, who they are and what they do. There's a freedom that comes from living this way, from living God's way. But why should we not judge? Why should we not pass sentence, but accept one another? Well, there are many reasons, but I want to bring you 3 this morning. The first reason is because it stops people from following God. If you look on your sheet, verse 13 says this: let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your minds not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. And here there's this argument about food. Is this food clean, ceremonially clean, and therefore should we be eating this food? well, the actual specific argument is not so important. But what's important is to see that actually what Paul's response here is, he says that it's more important to be loving people than being right. Now, if you're like me, I'm quite a justice-orientated people. I want things to be just and right. And sometimes when I'm in the right, and my wife, she's not here today, so I'm going to say this, is wrong, my tendency, she's at another church, my tendency is just to keep going until she knows that I'm right. But the truth is, being right is not the most important thing. Do you know, in our marriage, is it most important who's right or our relationship? And it's the same with God, and it's the same with our friends, it's the same with our family members, it's the same with our work colleagues. Our relationships are more important than being right. Verse 17 says, our response should be the righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of being right, in this case, eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit. And it goes on saying, verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification and being right. No, that's not there, just mutual edification. But it's not easy to do this. It's not easy to live like this, where we let justice belong to not us, but God. Justice will be done, but we entrust it to the Creator, God. Let's give a situation. We're having an argument with a family member over money. Do you just keep going to prove that you're right and they're wrong, even if you are right? Or do you understand the higher principle that relationship is most important? And I've seen this with the way of our children sometimes. When our children are misbehaved, you've got to read the situation that actually maintaining the relationship is more important than who is right, or trying to say that your child is wrong in a situation. So the truth is, if we want to be right and want to pass judgment, it means that we want to be God. Are you God? Did you create the universe? I think not. God alone is the creator of the universe. God created morality. Right and wrong is defined by the character of God. So he alone can pass that judgment. And we live in the freedom of not having to pass that judgment. So reason one, stopping people from following God by us being judge. Reason two, God made everyone good. Very good, in fact, the Bible said. Clean. Now here it's talking about food. But verse 14 says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing is clean in itself. Now, it's important that it says in the Lord Jesus Christ here, and I'll show you why. But here it's talking about the food being clean. So he's saying, look, I'm convinced that it is clean. Everything is clean. God made everything clean, but that's not the issue here. It's about relationship. And that's true for people too. God created everybody good. Now, I want you now to think about somebody who has hurt you, done you an injustice, done you a wrong. It can be a family member, or if there isn't somebody in a family member or a work colleague or something like that, then maybe think of somebody, a politician or something like that, who you feel has done a great wrong. And when you've thought about them, listen to what God says about them. This is Genesis 2:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And verse 31 from that chapter, God saw all that it was made, and it was very good. Now, I know this was before the fall, but everybody is made in God's image, including those who wrong us. Everybody is very good in the eyes of God. You see, I said that bit about in Christ is important, because you see, God sees everybody through these spectacles, and these spectacles have got the cross on them. And when God sees through them, the sin is filtered out, and he sees them as his creation. He sees them as very good. And so must we. So those people who do us wrong, and I'm not saying this is easy. Just this week, Joe and I were tested. Joe said to me, it would be in the week that we're preaching about judging people that we get this situation, wouldn't it? I think God's trying to tell us something here. It's not easy. But when God sees you and I, he sees us through the lens which filters the sin out because of the cross. And we should see people like that too. Do we? So, we need to accept one another. Accepting one another goes beyond forgiveness to seeing them in the image of God and seeing them as very good in God's eyes. We don't necessarily have to have a relationship with them. It may not be appropriate to. But we do need to forgive them, and we do need to see them in the image of God, and we do need to accept one another. So reason one for not judging and accepting one another, because it stops people from following God. Reason two, because God made everyone very good. Reason three, and this one gets pretty scary, is your judgment that you use on people will be used on you. Chapter 15, verse 7 on our reading today says this: accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So, as I've just said, God accepts you through the filter of the cross. So when he sees you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees your potential. He sees your goodness. He sees your righteousness in Christ, because he sees you through his son's cross. And so when you come to judgment, God won't see your sin, because that sin's been taken on the cross for you. And we must see others like that. But if you don't do that, you use your measure, which is a judgmental measure. Right, that person's awful, that person's awful, that person's morality stinks, that person's treated me badly and they should get what's coming to them. All of a sudden, all of that comes back on me. And no longer the glasses of the cross are taken off and my own system is used there. So this is Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And the measure you use will be the measure used to you. So, here it is. You get to heaven, you're seen through the eyes of cloth, and you look beautiful and clean and pure. Or alternatively, you get up to heaven and there's this big screen, and the worst things you ever said, the worst things you ever done. How about, should we try it now with one or two of you? We recall, have it up on the screen then, our worst things we thought about people, the worst things we've done in our lives, up on the screen. I don't want that measure. Let me tell you, I don't want that measure. I don't want you to see the worst things I've ever done. I want God's measure, which means I must not judge others, because I want God's measure, which is the cross glasses where my sins are washed away. That's how I want to be judged. So, let us accept one another. And for me, my turning point in my life, I secretly had all sorts, and these are the unsaid things, and maybe you can relate to this. I used to slightly look down on lots of people, and one of the areas I looked down on people was people who got divorced. I thought, well, you're the failed ones. I didn't say it, of course, but I thought, well, if maybe you prayed a little, and I was a Christian at the time, I thought, maybe if you prayed a little more, if you worked a little harder bit, maybe you'd come through it. And then my wife left me and divorced me and went off. And I became one of those people. And that judgment was then count on me. And I remember saying, I am never, ever going to pass judgment on anything or anybody ever again. I'm sure I haven't kept to that. But I remember making that vow. I don't care what people have done or said. I'm not going to judge them anymore. Because my little judgments just come down on my head. And now I won't be judgmental anymore. So who are the people in your lives? They could be in your families, your friends. They could be work colleagues. They could be politicians. Don't we get encouraged to judge our politicians in this day and age? Or situations, this European thing. Are you being judgmental on all of that? And we won't demand this. I wonder what it is that you need, area of judgmentalism, where you need to leave judgment to God. And I do want to say some things. I'm not saying justice shouldn't be done. And I'm not saying the legal system, but let's leave the legal judgments to the judges. Because justice needs to be done legally, all for that. But moral arguments and all other arguments, let's just leave them to God. And let's not pass judgment on anyone. And I don't think we have a judge here this morning. So don't pass legal judgment and don't pass moral judgment. Let's leave it all to God. And it is freeing to do that. Otherwise, we carry the baggage of other people's wrongs. That's why God set us free. That's why he wants forgiveness. That's why he doesn't want us to judge. It's not because he wants us not to get justice. Justice will be done by God or the legal system. Even if it's not in this time, it will come. It will come. But let's leave it to the one who created the universe, who knows true right and wrong. And let's not carry it ourselves. But let's accept one another. So deep that is in the pure thing. Accept one another, which is forgiveness, seeing them in the light of God and their acceptance as the righteousness of Christ, and just see them as made in the image of God, loved by God, everybody. Let's accept one another. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a film, a song, and the words will come up on the screen, which kind of reflect back a little on this. And maybe you could just, if you've got somebody that you need to forgive, or somebody you need to accept, and you haven't been, or maybe it's an attitude in driving, or at your work, or at home with your partner, because it's quite often those we love most, we judge most, when really we need the higher principle. So let me pray, and then we'll watch the film. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not see me. You did not see us for what we've done. You did not judge us, but you put that judgment on your Son on the cross. And you saw us as pure and holy. Help us to see others as you see us. Help us to see through the lens of the cross with forgiveness and acceptance. Father, it's hard to do that. But by the power of your Spirit, help us to do that this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.